Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
The reason you being light is so important is that when you realize you're the light of the world, then your light shines, and then what happens? It shines before men. They see your good works, but if it's all working, who gets the glory? He does.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard wants to share with you some encouragement, words of hope, and probably a laugh or two. And in today's complicated, busy life, that's exactly what's needed. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. Now, you may not be able to hang out with us for the entire program, but you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellis.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellis.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Lit. So this is a word that used to mean something, and it means something else now. If you know anything about kids or have heard this term, when they say something is lit, it's a pretty good thing. And the Urban Dictionary says it's when something is turned up or popping. So hopefully, no, that's not me, that's not my definition, that is the definition. Now, it used to mean something, the past tense of light something. If you were to light something, it would be lit. Or if you lit something, there would be light. So as it turns out, it's a little bit easier to get lit than it is to stay lit. And kind of like a campfire, you can, and if you ever built a fire, I love fires. I love messing with fires. I love poking around on them, stoking them, moving. You know, I won't leave a fire alone. If I'm going to build a fire, something about fire. And the thing about fire is it requires fuel. Now let me just say this up front so I don't leave this out. If you are a Christian, the light never goes out. Now you say, well, but it looks like it's just a bunch of ashes. Somewhere in the ashes of your life, even if that's all you think there is, there's an ember in the ashes. So if you think it's out, doused, the enemy's won, it's over. If you're a believer, there's always an ember in the ashes. So if you have been lit by God Himself and you have gone far, far away, it is possible for that fire to be rekindled. I don't know how long you've been gone, how long you've been cold, how long you've been lukewarm, if that's what it is, but it is possible for that to be rekindled. But it's going to take fuel. And as we'll see here, as we read through the scripture, it's almost implicit in every message, a ton of the fuel that is needed is the scripture. And if you are not renewing your mind, we'll read about that. If you're not in the process of that, then you are getting sucked into the world, and that fire, you are lit for the world. You are lit for something. And my question today, part of it is, what are you lit by or for? What are you excited about? What are you popping about? You're all lit for what? Oh, I'm excited about this, this band, this music, this new outfit, this new whatever thing's coming. And the new stuff always, you know, the newness wears off. But how do you get lit and stay lit? Now, I'd like to start over in Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, look at verse 3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. Now, here's what you may or may not know about becoming a Christian. Yes, when you become a Christian, you get lit. But what you may not be aware of is what gets set on fire is you. And so, what is the purpose of fire? One of the purposes of fire is to burn stuff. I know that sounds very complex, technical, but fire consumes. So you say, well, I don't want to be set on fire. You're safe as long as what matters doesn't burn. And the truth of the matter is, what matters is not going to be consumed by this fire. But what does not need to stay, and by the way, if you go read 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 3, it talks about another kind of fire at the end of time where our lives will, as Christians will be subjected to this fire, and everything that is not of Him will be eaten up, and all you'll be left with is what mattered for Him. So when the fire hits your life, and he comes at you, it describes him as a consuming fire. What is he trying to do? He is as silver, as gold, the dross, anything that's not of him, he's trying to consume and get away from you and get off of you so that you live the life he intended. You say, I don't want to be set on fire because he's burning up stuff that matters to me. It's because you're more lit about those things than you are him. And so you don't want to let go of those things. Can't tell you how many young men I sit down with and they look at me and, you know, start talking and you start asking some questions. What are you doing? How are you spending your time? What are you pursuing? And they say, you know, I'm just not happy. I'm empty out. I'm not fulfilled. What do I do? I say, well, this is what's going to happen. I don't want to lose this stuff. So I want to walk with God and be holy, but get to live an unholy life at the same time. It doesn't work that way. You say, well, if I pick your lane, I'm going to lose all my friends. You can't lose your friends if they're really your friends. Not possible. People, oh, I'll lose my friends. Now, I'll read you some verses about that in a minute, too. Maybe you just need some new friends. Maybe the fire burns up some friends. Instead of trying to figure out what you want, why don't you take just a few minutes with God and say, you know what? I've been telling you what I want, and this is a dangerous thing to ask you. What would you like to see happen? Well, thank you for asking, and here we go. Now, somewhere along the way, I don't know, it's been going on for millennia, I guess, but these preachers show up and they tell you, come to Jesus and everything's going to be wonderful. You'll be wealthy, healthy. Yeah. I think she figured out it ain't going to happen. Your children will be beautiful. No more ugly babies. Everything will be great. Just come to Jesus and he'll make it all good. What are you going to do with all these other verses? About trials, persecution, suffering. Well, I'm not interested in that Jesus. That's the only Jesus there is. You say, but that sounds painful. It is painful. If you're going to follow him, where is it going to end up? At a cross. You can't follow Jesus without taking up a cross. Well, I'm going to go around the cross and pick him up on the other side. He said, if any man wants to follow me, deny himself daily, take up his cross, follow me. We're not interested in that. We don't want a cross life. We want a cush life. We want all the blessings without any of the responsibility. We don't want to be purified. You took me as I am, right? But he didn't take you as you are to leave you as you are. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we'll jump in, I think, at verse 13. Now, I'm jumping into 13 for a reason. I meet with people from time to time, sometimes in a restaurant, and inevitably, I will pick up a salt shaker. The reason I love salt shakers is this, because they sit on a table and the salt has to be clean, has to be right, or they can't use it. But they put it in this shaker and inevitably somebody will reach out, pick up that salt shaker and dump that pure, clean, sanitized salt into a pile of food. You say, well, why would you do that? You know, what'd the salt do? Just sitting there minding its own business. Then you're gonna dump it in this food and then put it in your body and run it through the traps. Because that's what it's made for. So unfortunately, a lot of churches get turned into big salt shakers that don't want to be shaken, don't want to be dumped out. Oh, look at our beautiful salt shaker, and we're going to put all the salt in here, and we're going to wait for Jesus to come. Well, Jesus is coming. He's going to pick up the salt shaker and dump us out in the world, because that's what we're made for, to be salt and what else? Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. It's just for waiting for a snowstorm. You are the light of the world. Now, this is extraordinary. So, Jesus is the light of the world. That's not what he said. That's what he is. But then he looks at us and says, no, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp. And look at this terminology. It's not a flashlight. There's no electricity back then. So if there was a light, it was lit. You can't have light without something being lit. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You say, well, it seems like it's all about me. I'm the light of the world. The reason you being light is so important is that when you realize you're the light of the world, then your light shines, and then what happens? It shines before men. They see your good works, but if it's all working, who gets the glory? He does. When it all goes like it's supposed to, they glorify your Father in heaven. So yes, they are drawn to the light like bugs drawn to the light. Here they come flying to your light and you say, it's not about me. They see the difference in your life. And then because of the difference in your life, they say, wow, only God could do this. Go to Matthew chapter 17. Now, this one's one of the great challenges of getting lit and wanting to stay where you got lit. Matthew 17, verse 1. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And it's a word, metamorphosis. I mean, literally, he is not looking like he did when they went up there. His face shone like the sun. And you say, well, this is just hyperbole, just, you know, trying to explain it. His face shone like the sun. This is bright, something transformative happened to Jesus up there, and they saw it. And his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. This is a good place to be. Extraordinary things are happening. My gosh, it's Elijah, Moses. He says, this is a good place for us to be. If you wish, we'll build houses. If you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. We'll build houses. Let's stay here on the mountaintop. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And then look at the next verse. Now, as they came down from the mountain. Now, this is the part that sucks. I've seen Jesus. Like maybe I'd see him in heaven. I've seen Moses, Elijah, I offered to build houses, let's stay here. And he says, no, we're going back down. By the way, valleys are created by mountains. There are no valleys without mountains. So you say, well, I love the mountains. My sister is a mountain climber. She does it for a charity, sex trafficking. She has climbed to the, I think, Kilimanjaro. She has climbed the summit of Everest. She's climbed all these mountains. As great as it is to summit, you have to come back down because you can't stay there. You say, but this is so great. This is so amazing. You have to learn to go from mountaintops to valleys or you won't make it. Now, God will allow you those experiences, but you have to come off of that mountain, as it says here. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. So you keep it to yourselves what you saw until after I've been raised from the dead. Go to Luke 24. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but if you jump into Luke 24, this is after Jesus has been raised from the dead, road to Emmaus, 2 guys are traveling there. Jesus shows up, walks with them, talks with them. They have no idea it's him. He doesn't reveal to them that it's him somehow. And he preaches, basically teaches, beginning in the Old Testament, about himself. He says he's going on. They talk him into staying, having dinner. He has dinner with them, and let's pick up at verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated they would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? Now, you say, well, that sounds like heartburn, different kind of burning. You say, well, I don't have that happen. It happens when you read the scriptures. It happens when you hear sermons sometimes. It happens anytime the Holy Spirit and God's word is involved, it can happen. Why? Because it is Christ speaking to you. You say, well, I don't see Jesus, so how could this happen? They were with Jesus and didn't even know it. And yet all those things that he said, they were lit inside because of what he was saying, what was going on. They knew something was up. Same thing with us. When you walk and talk with Jesus, there's a good chance your heart will burn within you. And if you say, well, I don't get that, then there might be a chance that you are not walking with or talking with Jesus. And I grew up with this. People thought, well, I went to church. Okay. I read a verse this morning. Okay. I even gave some money. Great. How is your relationship with Christ? Are you lit for him still? Or did you just get lit when you were 6 or 16 or whatever age you became a Christian, and then we're back to ashes and embers and you don't know what to do anymore? Nothing quite like a guy getting lit up about a girl, or a girl about a guy. Part of the adventure of living in my house is the men in the world that would have no idea they even exist that women can be lit about. Something stir inside of you and wow, he could be the one, and or I think she's it. Pictures, stalking them on Facebook. I mean, all that stuff. I get some laughter because everybody knows what that is. Why don't you try stalking Jesus for a while? Just follow him around as closely as you can. Just annoy the heck out of him. You ever had anybody follow you that way, little kid? Just right on you. Just on your leg. Where are we going now? Why do they do that? What's that? What's that? What's that? Why? Get on Jesus like that. Why is that way? Ask whatever you want to ask. Just get close to him. Get lit about him. You say, well, how do I stay lit about him? Stay on him. Chase him. Talk to him. And there's scripture for harassing him. Knock, keep on knocking. Seek, keep on seeking. Ask, keep on asking. Harass him. What do you want? Here's the tragedy in my life and everybody's life. You can always tell what somebody wants by what they got, because you're chasing whatever it is you decided to chase. Now, the tragedy is you say, well, I'm not getting what I want because I haven't caught what I went after. And how's that working out for you? Because you're wasting your whole life, and he's been saying, no, that's not what I have for you. And you keep pushing, you just keep banging your head against the wall, determined to prove you're right. The sooner Jesus is right, the sooner you're going to be all right. And that's something simple called repentance. And all it is saying, God, you're right, I'm wrong, let's do it your way. And then the fire hits. And you say, this isn't going to be fun. It's going to be a whole lot better because you're going to suffer either way. It's better to suffer for doing the right thing than the wrong thing. Straight out of scripture. Romans chapter 12. Let's see how many of these we can cover. Pretty simple verses. A lot of people know these by heart. Some of you never even heard them. Romans chapter 12. You say, okay, so how do I stay lit? This is pretty simple. Paul, writing to the Romans here, says, verse 1, I beseech you, I am begging you, therefore, brethren, believers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And by the way, this word transformed is where we get our word metamorphosis. Same word again. Means to change, transfigure, transform. So when something goes through metamorphosis, it does not end up looking like what it started out as. Do you look like who you were when you got saved? Then something's not happening. So don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. And then how are you transformed? By the renewing of your mind. And it's where we get the word renew or renovation. Whatever happened to TV, I don't know, but it's everything in the world is being renovated. You have a show, and now they got to have a show about renovating the show. And what do we love to see? We love to see somebody pick an old dog house, some fancy couple come in, big hammers, start destroying the place, and we can't wait for the reveal. Well, Jesus is waiting for the reveal too. You say, well, no, I don't even like my old house. Then let somebody renew your old house. Let somebody fix it, remodel it. Ah, but I like watching it on TV. I don't want all that going on inside of me. Then you'll never end up renewed. Nothing's going to change. Because change requires change. Something's got to give. Something's got to go. So, don't be conformed to this world and say, okay, I don't want to do that. Then how are you going to change? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So how do you renew your mind? You wake up and go back to Proverbs, light, lamp, he's in there. When you sleep, when you wake up, you got him on the brain. You read some scripture. He goes, okay, this is what we're doing. You say, yeah, but the world says go that way. And he says, and I'm telling you to go that way. And by the way, if you want to find out which way God's going, look at the way the world's going and go the other way. It's hard to take someone with you in the right direction if you're not going the right direction. You say, but if I change, if I lead, I'll get called out. Okay, at some point, get called out. Say something already. What are we going to have said before we say, that's not right? How far can you let it go before you go, no? And it's simply some of this renewal, something about being lit. And I say, do this in the gentlest of ways. You know, I can be with people and they can drop the F-bombs. They can, you know, four-letter words. I can put up with almost anything. When you get into my five-letter word, I'm done. You start using Jesus. You start talking about God damning things, and I'm like, you know what, guys? Man, I know it's not going to go over big, but you're talking about someone very personal to me, and I got to say something. I'm not comfortable. Oh, well, I'm going to get thrown out. Get thrown out, finally. Get thrown out.
get shunned, get ostracized, let somebody hate you. Not for being mean. You say, look, I'm saying this the most loving way, but when you use that name, that Jesus that you used, he's the one that died on a cross for me and for you, was buried, raised, but now you share the gospel and they don't even know what happened to him. And you'd be amazed how many times people go, dude, I'm so sorry. I didn't even think of what I was saying. And they will back down and they're waiting for someone to draw the line and set a standard and care anymore. Nobody cares. Because we're all lit up about the world and not about him. So I am going to take a minute and read you some 1 Peter here, and then we'll be done. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Because this kind of sums the whole thing up. Okay, everybody got it? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. And we're just going to read it. So here we go. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. What? A mind for suffering. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. When you start suffering in the flesh, there's a good chance you're ceasing from sin. Because the flip side is, I don't want to suffer in the flesh, so I'm going to do what I want to do. But when you tell the flesh, no, that's painful. I don't want pain, so I'm going to sin. Then your life will never change. Suffering the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them. It's in the Bible. Look at it right there. So the people you were running with, all of a sudden you stop running with them, and they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Like, oh, you're better than us, or who do you think you are, holier than thou? They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then he says, verse 12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happening to you. Stop being shocked by the fiery trials. Why is there so much heat on me? Why has God set me on fire? Why am I all lit up all of a sudden? You know, burning, something's up. Because he's trying to get rid of everything that is not him. So do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you also be glad with exceeding joy. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory of God rests upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
You say, well, you get all lit about these things because that's what's supposed to happen. Now, is my week, my life, every day, everything perfect? No. And what happens in my life and in your life? He says, that's got to go. You're going the wrong way. We got to go this way. And so he sends you people and they speak the truth to you and say, that's not the way. Go this way. And God sets you on fire. And you go, this is very painful because he's removing the things that I love. But if they're not things that he loves, they're a problem. You want to be remodeled, but you don't want the change. But how we love the change once the remodel is over. So get lit with the right thing. And if you realize that your Christian life is ashes with some embers, and your life you live, you're lit about everything but Him, maybe flip that around and say, God, something's got to change. My mind's got to change. My mindset's got to change. My direction's got to change. You got to help me do what you want me to do, and be prepared for that to be painful up front, especially because it's not what you've been doing. But I promise you this, even with the suffering that can come with it, it will be better.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. We all have busy schedules these days, so it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Richard would love to know how today's talk has touched your heart, so give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also share your story with us at our website, richardellis.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program that is always expanding to reach the world with the good news of the gospel, but it also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program like ours means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. We believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by calling 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. Thank you for your generosity. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.